Hey there, everyone. This is Monica, and welcome to episode 20 of Pre-Canaan with the Pope. In today's episode, Renzo and I talk all about chastity. We discuss where misunderstandings of the virtue come from and what chastity really looks like in marriage. Be sure to listen carefully for some great inspiration from JP2 and some pretty terrible ad-lib analogies about who's in the driver's seat. We're so happy you're here with us. Let's jump in.
All right, and we're back for another one. Episode number 20.
Number 20.
Yeah.
So cool.
So I'm excited that we're doing this again. So before we get into our topic for the day, please drop us a you know what I was going to say? Not a like. What do they call them? A review? A rating. There you go.
Rating.
Rate us. Not me.
The podcast.
The podcast. Not my jokes.
The joint effort.
Yes. But seriously, please, if you can, please rate us. It helps get the word out there about the podcast, helps us get a wider audience. We posted a little bit about it. We don't post as much of the feedback as I think we should. Most of the people that
I
listen,
hate self-promotion.
Well, I don't like that it's self-promotion, but I also don't like that. I don't want people to feel like if they reach out to us, we're going to automatically use them as like an advertising thing.
That's true.
But I think it's important so that people see like this show is having an impact in its own little way, but like couples are talking, couples are having conversations.
Yes.
Couples are leaning into the tension a little bit. This past week we got an email from someone saying that they love the love languages episode, but then they were also talking about how getting their spouse to like buy into this whole love language idea and respect their love language is difficult.
Yeah.
And that they're finding encouragement. Oh, we also got another email. We didn't talk about this yet. So welcome. We'll talk about this now.
Okay.
We got another email from a person who listened to our episode about, how to save the world. And so of listening to that episode, they decided to stay and keep homeschooling next year.
Yeah.
Cause they were ready to give up because they felt like it was too much. It's not making a difference to anybody.
Well, and they were thinking about going back to school.
Right.
For
getting
counseling.
Another degree. Right. Yeah. Right. And then they, you know, after listening to the episode and the emphasis of loving your family.
Yeah. Feel like their greater impact is at home.
Right. Which is really,
very cool.
Really cool.
And that's our goal, is to just like have these things out there for you to consider and to discuss and to evaluate as like a family, as a couple in your relationship, like just take some time to like really discern about it.
Yeah. So, if you could rate us, just that little bit of support makes a huge difference.
And thank you guys for your feedback. Whoever is reaching out to us, thank you for your authenticity and vulnerability. It means a lot to us that you're comfortable to do that, and that that this is just a little tool for you guys, and we're happy.
Yeah,
we're happy.
And if you're not reaching out, you're dead to us. Don't even bother. I'm kidding.
No. You're terrible.
No, but yes, please, we encourage everybody to reach out. It helps us. Helps us want to keep doing this and really offering to God, like whatever this little bit is, whatever he wants to make out of it.
And if this is your first episode, that's Renzo joking.
Is it? Is it? Look through the ratings, see what they say. It's like 5 stars every time Renzo gets a dad joke. It'll become a drinking game eventually. Only if you listen to the podcast at night. Sorry, not during the day. Don't encourage that.
While driving. This is my commute podcast.
Some people run or do like, exercise to this. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. I'm not more encouraging. Keep going. One more set in the middle of our conversation. Okay. So the topic today, I think, is pretty heavy because it covers a lot of different arguments that are out there right now.
Mm.
And like, it's pretty crazy. So we're going to talk about chastity today.
Yeah.
But like chastity, I think, is so relevant now in so many circles.
Yeah, all the circles.
Right. So like, you show me a post that you got from one of the Facebook groups that you're in.
Yeah.
Particularly about like a couple. And if you
it's an NFP group.
Yeah. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, which one? I share a lot with you.
The most recent?
I have to look at it. I feel like I shared like 3 with you today.
Uno
momento.
Un momento in the recordo. Sorry. Sorry. You did a screenshot.
I did. I was looking at it. I was trying to, so I shared most, I mostly screenshotted my response to it. So this particular post was about a couple who has very, very valid reasons to try to avoid pregnancy in their marriage. And the husband was posted this asking, is this a valid reason for a vasectomy to increase the odds, to improve the odds of NFP working? And what's the church's stance on vasectomies, particularly given their circumstances, their situation? What can they do? And then and repeatedly he brought up that extended periods of abstinence were not an option because he felt like that was detrimental to their marriage. So that was the question that was posed in the group.
Yeah. So there's that. And we've seen other questions, and they haven't been posed to us yet, but we've seen other questions similar to that of just couples struggling that try to do NFP that just struggle with long periods of abstinence in their marriage. And long
can vary from couple to couple what that means, what that word means, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it ends up being, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it ends up being like the husband is unhappy with the amount of time that they're abstaining and then saying, well, this isn't right. You know, that we have,
I guess I would say more often than not, it's the husband that has an issue with it, that why is it this way? And it definitely brings a lot of challenges and questions up. And then there are.
Well, then the definitely question of where's the line too? Of mm-hmm. Can we do other things?
Yeah,
and it's funny because I feel like we're right back to in high school. It was similar.
How far
questions.
Is too yeah, far?
Like,
oh, yeah,
what's the line?
Right, and yeah, and then just the challenges of during periods of abstinence, then we feel disconnected. We feel like we're not being intimate, and our marriage suffers during periods of abstinence. So I think that comes up. I think that one is pretty mutual, male and female. I think, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's that. So it's also Pride Month this month.
Yeah,
and we're not going to address all of that this episode. But one of the things that I think is pretty well known out there is that the church's stance on it is that if a person does identify as homosexual or gay or same sex attraction, whatever way you want to word it, their recommendation or prescription or what they say,
their call is to
chastity.
Yeah.
They're called to live a chaste life.
Yeah.
The same as anybody who's single, that's not married yet, any engaged couple, they're called to live chastely. And the same as a married couple, they're all called to live chastely in whatever chastity looks like in their stage of life.
Yeah.
I think, so the reason I bring up that is because I forgot what I was reading. But a lot of the things that I'm reading, and I like to read things from the other side of the aisle, things that I maybe don't fully agree with or that are counter what I believe. I really do
just to hear what other people have to say.
But more of reading it from having somebody who believes me writing about it. I like to dive into okay, imagine I'm you. How do you understand this concept? Mm-hmm. And what I'm coming to see is that the idea that chastity. And this seems to be for everybody. So this isn't just
whatever side of the aisle you may be on.
People just seem to not like chastity and feel like it's an unfair recommendation prescription. I forgot how to
burden,
say it. It's unfair to say a person needs to live out chastely because, and I think that to the point that we see it as not we, you and I, but that the world is kind of seeing it as opposite of love. That if you live chastely, you cannot fully participate in love, achieve love, give love, and receive love because chastity is a barrier. Because
you're holding
to that.
Something back, yeah.
Right. So say to that, so and that goes again. I'm trying to just chastity in general. So in the couple that you just talked about in the Facebook group, the husband sees that as a barrier.
Yep.
To abstain from sex and live chastely for a long period of time in the relationship, and then also in a completely different type of scenario. To say to a young person you have to live chastely because of XYZ. So whatever the reason, they see that as an obstacle of love. And I think that is, it just makes the, whatever the church's message is after that fall on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. Right. If we just,
start from that point of view. That, yeah.
If everyone believes that that's true, that chastity prevents love from being able to occur, then no one's going to want to hear what the church has to say.
Right.
So like, and what I think is crazy is that Pope John Paul wrote about this years ago in Love and Responsibility. Like mm-hmm. he wrote about it before this was a thing. And I do think for a lot of it, he saw this was going to happen
yeah.
in the way that things were moving.
Yeah.
So
he saw the trajectory.
Right. So yeah. that's why in chapter 3 of Love and Responsibility, he writes about rehabilitating chastity.
Yeah.
Which I think is so like, and we talked about this a little bit other times, but like just the idea of chastity growing up in high school and college was so hard for us to understand.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was because of the things that we grew up consuming, like the movies, mm-hmm. the music, we, what? My Backstreet Boys?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is us. But
this is us is the continued millennial version of Backstreet Boys.
No.
Love.
I love. No, I think if you, with the things that we were consuming, like we already started seeing chastity as like a barrier to love because, the way that love is portrayed in media, and this is when we were growing up, so like the mid-90s, it was portrayed as equal to like getting physical and being in a romantic,
yeah,
sensual relationship. So like just from the get-go, like chastity was like, this doesn't make any sense. How does this fit in?
Right. Yeah. You know what's so interesting to me now is like, in our mid adulthood now, like we're past our young adulthood. I just find it so like a combination of interesting and baffling and discouraging and encouraging and all like so many different emotions of like that we're still facing the same conflict that we were when we were like preteens and teenagers. Mm. There's this whole idea of chastity and how to love rightly, like how to love the person I love well. Mm. And like, I think like at the core of it, we've all got something right in that like our bodies are speaking something to us that says that sex is good mm-hmm. and that we desire sex. And then like beyond that, we desire intimacy and sex is intimate. So we lump those together and mm-hmm. then, so then anything that feels like sex feels intimate and then that must be good. And now we've kind of like spread out so much from the core of what our bodies are speaking to us. And then we're allowing like all of these things to be desired. And if it's desired, then it must be okay. And, mm-hmm. and kind of like you said, going back to like, where's the line? How far is too far? What am I allowed to do with my girlfriend at 13 years old? You know, mm-hmm. It's still the question is like, what can I do with the person I'm engaged with? And what can I do with my spouse if we're okay, so we know that we're not supposed to use contraception and like what can I do if we're not trying to have a kid right now? And it's just so wild to me that like that question still comes up. And it's something that like I mean we wrestle with, mm-hmm. right? And like these in times of abstinence for us when trying to avoid pregnancy or what have you, it's like tempting, like mm-hmm. these, like I get the temptations, I get the questions, I get the right. the feelings, but well, like, it's yeah. just crazy.
Because I would say like a lot of, so more than like the same struggle, but I think that a majority of us have still struggled with like, we still have all these desires.
Yes.
Right. Like these, I still have these things, like where do I put them? Because I think.
Your hand gestures right now, no one can see, but he kind of wiggled.
It's like
near his belly.
That's where they start.
That's where everything the feelings starts in start. My belly.
Because I think we were sold at some point the idea that like if we got all of our faith things in check, like the desires would not be as strong.
Right.
Right. Like yes. the desires would like.
Thank you for articulating better what I'm.
No. Well, thank you for being the sounding board of my life. But I think that we. I think at some point, like that was what we were told would happen. Like, okay, so like you get your faith, you pray, you give everything to Jesus, you try to love the right way. Like
either that our desires would be put in check or our desires now must be ordered. Mm. So then like, okay, these feelings that I have because my prayer life is pretty okay, my life is pretty in order for the most part, like then what I feel must be good, like that must be what I should do,
right?
Because I did all the other, I checked all the other boxes,
right? Or
I've checked all the other boxes. Why do I still feel this way?
Mm-hmm. Right, because like right, kind of that's a good yeah. point. Like, because we kind of, and I didn't articulate this way when I was when I got married, but like you kind of feel like, all right, well, now that I'm married, like I'm in this box of like marriage. So like I'm in a padded room of marriage. So like I'm not going to hurt myself in this. I can let things go. And like, but then like
all willy nilly,
everything. But like, so, and that was a big struggle of ours in our first half of our marriage.
Absolutely. Like,
right now it's half, but like when we further down, it'll be a quarter. That's how things
work. Now we brought the math.
That's
in.
How math. I'm going to cut out the other math so they won't know what you're talking about now. No, but like I remember. So, and this was a struggle with our marriage, especially with practicing NFP as a young couple. And like, there was just a misunderstanding of the desires and like what I'm supposed to do with them.
Yeah.
Because I did, because like you assume like, okay, now you're married. So like, it's okay.
All the things go.
Right. Everything's a go. But now like, but there's still times when you have to kind of to practice temperance and not go. And then you're like, all right, but I'm still stuck with these feelings. What am I supposed to do? And again, like we grew up with this sensual idea of like, oh, yeah. So like, but if I'm feeling all these sensual feelings, if I light these candles, isn't this going to work? Like, no, there's other things that go into a romantic relationship.
Right.
And I didn't realize how important chastity was in order to make that work.
Yeah.
And so I remember one night we got into a big fight.
Oh, boy.
About this.
What are you about to bring up?
I don't remember, except that it was a fight. Okay. I just remember like, that wasn't the big part of the
okay.
No, so we got into a big argument, and like I just because it was as a husband at that time, I was feeling like and I wouldn't say it in like a way like that you owed me anything, but more of like, okay, so we can't, fine, but what am I supposed to do with all this? Mm. And I do know that there's some men in that the Facebook group that have said like, well, can he still have his release with XYZ?
Right.
Right. And, but I knew like, no, that's not allowed. That's not moral. We didn't believe that was moral. So we're not living that out. So like, I was just left with like, what do I do with all these feelings? Mm-hmm. And I remember you going to sleep and I took Love and Responsibility and I just sat on the couch and started reading Love and Responsibility. No idea why. Like as one
Holy
does,
Spirit.
As one yes. does when someone is flooded with passions and emotions, you go to the thickest theology book that you could read just to douse you. No, instead of a cold shower, I was like, I'm going to read philosophy. But
You're
no, okay.
Such a nerd. But then thankfully you bring it to things like this.
Yes. Okay. But so I
share the wisdom with those other guys who won't pick up.
So this is at the end of the book. Like this is, I don't know why I was reading through the end of the book. This is whatever. But so this is at the very end of Love and Responsibility. St. John Paul II says that the most important thing is to convey to man the proper hierarchy of values and to show what positions the sexual drive holds in that hierarchy. Its use will be then subordinated to the end it is to serve. Furthermore, man must be convinced about the possibility and necessity of conscious choice. It is necessary to restore to man, as it were, the consciousness of the freedom of the will and of the fact that the sphere of sexual lived experiences is fully subject to his will. And like, I remember reading that and being like, and just reading that, like, okay, you have these feelings, you're still in control. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't this. And that just blew my mind. And it seems so simple, but of like, you may have passions,
mm-hmm.
but you aren't your passions.
Right.
And like, and not even joking, like in that moment, like things just clicked for me of like, oh, okay. So I'm still going to have passions. I'm still going to have desires, yeah. But like they're supposed to be the sphere of sexual lived experiences is fully subject to this will. Like, so I still have a will.
Yeah.
And
that is greater than your passions.
Correct.
If you practice it.
Right.
Right.
And like that's, oh, that's chastity right. in marriage.
And that you're not going to implode or explode or.
Right. And like you're
disintegrate
not.
Disintegrate if your passions are not met with sex.
Right.
Yes.
Or like, or with whatever the husband might think or husband or wife or whatever would think is the release.
Right.
But like, no, you're not going to explode
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to disintegrate. And like, this is how human beings are.
Yes.
And like, you need the passions and like that's something that adds to life, but like they're supposed to be subordinate to our will.
Yeah.
And just hearing that, because basically what you're saying is okay. And which is why in earlier in right. Cause that's why in early in Love and Responsibility, he says that we have a resentment towards chastity.
Yeah. And one of the other things that he says is we must bring about a certain rehabilitation of chastity. For this purpose, we must above all remove the enormous buildup of the subjectivism. Thanks, Angel Paul. In our understanding of love and of the happiness that love can provide to a man and a woman.
That was great.
Sorry, watching you laugh at how I read. And like I love the term rehabilitation, or even like the word restore. Like, we need to restore what chastity actually is, instead of like our perception of what we've heard of chastity to be, whether that's from, you know, chastity talks in middle school from our 70-year-old religious ed teacher, or, you know, we went to a guys and girls talk at a conference, and, you know, and they were like, green light, red light, this is yes, this is no. And there is no possibility of a holistic picture of chastity and how that looks in every season of life, every stage of life, in a one-time sit-down conversation, yeah, or a one-time read through, one-time talk. Like, what chastity looks like, even though it's a virtue that crosses all ages, what that looks like is different in different stages. So what you learned when you were 13 as far as chastity is like, don't have sex, like, period. But what chastity looks like in marriage is so different. And how do I apply chastity? Because it doesn't just mean don't have sex, because in marriage, like, aren't we supposed to encourage to have sex? Like, so I think I love his term of a rehabilitation of chastity, a restoration of chastity. Like, what does chastity actually mean? And what you had read in Love and Responsibility is that it's like, it's a conquering of the will. Like, and it's directed at how you love somebody else. Like, the conquering of the will of my own personal feelings, and then like having my will work towards the good of the other person, of loving them well.
Yeah. Well, I think the part from the quote that you just read, though, that I think is like most important, is that we have to remove the buildup of the subjectivism in our understanding of love and happiness. Mm-hmm. Because like, so I think you start there, because, and I think that's why like the Disney movies we watched growing up is the problem, or is one of the problems. And I think that's why our generation is still struggling with this now. Like you mentioned, we struggled with this as teens, and we're still struggling now, because at some point it was given to us the idea that like the love and happiness that we're hoping for is based on what we think it is. Like, it's based on like these ideas that we're given as like, oh, you know, you're gonna live happily ever after, you fall in love and you give your life for the other person within 2 days of meeting each other via Titanic or like whatever movies we grew up with. Like, yeah, that's the subjectivism that we have. And then we go into marriage or any relationship with that, like, okay, I want love with this person. This is what I think love is. I want happiness with the person. This is what I think happiness is. And it's live moment to moment. It's fast. It's fiery. Like, yeah, these are all the things that we're supposed to have in a romantic relationship. And like, that's, I think, why chastity doesn't fit. And I also think that's why divorce happens, because like at some point you don't feel those things anymore.
Right.
Like, there's all this that goes into.
So it must mean something is broken, and either we need to restore the passion or we need to move on.
Right.
Right.
And I think even, and like, you wouldn't think it, but like chastity even speaks to that of like, no, it's not about your passions.
Yeah.
So like, even like they might be burning like a huge flame, or they may not be there at all. Like, no, chastity shows that love isn't about those passions.
Right.
Whereas like the passions can add to it, which is fine.
Right. And
like, that's what St. Thomas Aquinas says. But like, our passions aren't supposed to be what guides us. It's supposed to be like an additional thing to it. In mentioning Aquinas, I like how what St. Thomas Aquinas says about chastity is that chastity takes its name from the fact that reason chastises concupiscence, which I think is, I guess, silly, but like, I like the way he worded that. And then he goes on to say that the essence of human virtue consists in something being moderated by reason. Therefore, it is evident that chastity is a virtue. That's from the Summa Theologiae, but the idea that, like you mentioned, like the will, in our reason is what's takes a hierarchy over our feelings, or in our concupiscence is like our sinful feelings or sinful passions that we might have from original sin, but that like our reason and our will comes first. And like, that's what chastity tries to make sure that we can do before we're married, Because if we don't, we're not able to do that. We're not able to love.
Right.
And like, because I reading that quote from St. John Paul, I'm like, oh, you're right. Because like, if I'm going to give my life to Monica, I have to be willing to die. And that's not a natural passion thing I want to do. Right. I want to stay alive, but I have to be willing to give my life for my wife.
Right.
And that only happens by like these moments where like, I can die to myself right now. I can die to myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and that's what, this is why he says people have a resentment though, because people don't want to be told that they have to die.
Yes.
Right. We don't want to be told, like, no, you're not going to fulfill that passion. And that's good. And we don't want to hear that.
So like, how could that be good then? Like, how could not giving into our passions be good for our marriage, for myself, for my spouse? Like, how could that be good if I'm feeling this passion towards my spouse and I want to be sexually intimate with them, but for whatever reason, either my spouse is not in the mood, like we're not passionate at the same time, or we are trying to avoid pregnancy, or the kids are still awake, or like what?
Well, it's
like, how can that be good? So like, how can that be good for my spouse, for us to not, like, how can that be good for our marriage to not give in to the passion?
I guess it depends on the situation. Desire. Like because there's so many different situations in like that you could give in to the passion or not. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So like, first I would say that if you are looking for just sexual gratification, mm-hmm. then you should not be engaging in sex. Like, because mm-hmm. you should be wanting to be with your spouse,
right?
Not just wanting to have sex. And if you're just wanting to have sex, you should not be having sex with your spouse. You need to really sit and pray about that, because that needs to, like you should, you're not allowed to lust after your spouse.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like being married isn't like a free ticket to like, oh, okay, now you could.
Now you are my release. Right. My release is directed.
Like you're in your padded room of marriage and like you can, now you can let it all out. Like that's not what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
So that could be one of the ways where like, no, you have to learn to control these passions.
Right. And that would be like the rehabilitating, reordering the way that you see your spouse mm-hmm. as a whole person, as opposed to a release to a sexual desire.
Right. She's not your spouse isn't a means to an end.
Yeah.
And like, that's that, like, I think that's the first problem. And then like, and this is a conversation they should be having though, way before they get married, hopefully with like a good holy priest and like a couple, yeah. like there's just a lot of conversations that need to be happening because, yeah. Like it needs to be an open, intimate conversation, but like, so like that could be one of them. And then also if your spouse is not mentally doing well.
Yeah.
Right. So like it could be from like overwork or whatever. Like there's a lot of times where life is happening around us and like there's still the passions that are there. But like, okay, but my spouse is very tired right now, or my spouse and I have not been connecting in other areas.
Yep.
Like, let me see if I can, like there's those times where like, because the passion because our passions try to jump our reason.
Yep.
Like we could end up being like, well, it's, you know, in the moment. And I'm jumping all over the place, but I think our phones is actually a reason why this is also hard too, because like our phones give us instant gratification. It's really easy to just swipe, 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 and we get all the dopamine. Mm-hmm. So then we end up getting some sort of sexual desire that jumps our reason. And the dopamine hit from sexual desire is a lot more than if you're being a reasonable person.
Right.
So we're more likely to be like, well, I'll follow this. Let's see where the dopamine takes me right now. And usually it's going to take you into a fight because like that, yeah. this isn't what's best for you and your spouse right now.
Right.
So like being aware of that and having your will be able to, no, this isn't, let's order these correctly again.
Yeah.
I know you want this passion right now. You want this release, but your spouse told you they were having a bad day all this whole day. They need extra time to themselves. Can you do something to help your spouse? Blah, blah, blah. Like that's where things should be ordered. Like, right. And I wasn't doing that in the first half of our marriage. I know it wasn't, because the passions would come and just jump, and I wouldn't recognize the jump happened until after.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now I can recognize like, wait, okay. It's definitely, I feel as though now there is a conductor that can be like, okay, let's hold on. Let's reorder these things again before we keep moving.
Right. And that's the practice of virtue, is that like that feeling isn't like cured or gone. It's the like, my reasoning has now been strengthened. Like I've worked out my reasoning muscles to like be ready for when passions hit, that I can assess the situation. And is this a time where we can go with those passions and be sexually intimate? Or is this a time where I need to chill out a bit?
Right.
I think too, like going to another example of when abstinence is a call in your marriage might be when like it's not a time to add to your family and you're practicing natural family planning. And that's, again, like you said, a continual ongoing conversation. And like whatever that reason, that motivation that you've come to through discernment as to your reason why we're not adding to our family right now, like that you have to just remind yourself of that like imperative reason, whatever that may be, that's between the couples. But like, okay, that's the good of our marriage right now is to focus on whatever this thing is, physical health, mental health, finances, lots of kids really close together. And it's just like too chaotic, whatever it is, like, and to just like remind yourself of that and to like, this is the pause button right now. We're waiting until green light, fertile window's over. And like, and that's why, like, that's the other good. That's the greater good that you're working towards. Cause I think what's hard too is that like sex is not bad. And I think that we've kind of like, again, with our like this false dichotomy between like the secular world and the Catholic world that like sex is dirty and bad. Like, no, your sexual desire for your spouse is very good. But sometimes there's a greater good in your marriage of practicing chastity and abstaining because there's something else greater that your marriage is being called to at that time. And, but like that your sexual desire for your spouse is not bad.
Right. Well, I think what chastity does, it reminds us that love isn't accomplished in a moment. Because I think
oh, that's a good line.
Thank you. You messed up my thought.
Sorry.
Because you're just mentioning that, like, because we've had those conversations before of just like, you've said to me, and I hope this is okay to share, like you said, like right now I feel like I'm struggling, not struggling, but like I'm at the end of being able to be a present parent to all of our kids. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, and you've said that. And so I've heard that. And so like, yeah. So right now for, there's other reasons as well, but like we're pausing on conceiving. So therefore, because we think that's what's best for our family and we've discerned it. And so therefore, yes, there's moments where like it's close to, you know, there's a conception time and we both want to, and okay, but like love is more than just this moment. Like, yes. Instead of allowing the passions to take control in that moment because we want to live out whatever love is in the Titanic movie. Like, sorry, I keep going back to that one. But like, just
that
like,
one really left an impression on you.
It's only like 3 days long. And like, we're supposed to believe this whole love story happened in 3 days and I'll never forget him. And Celine Dion sings songs for me. But like, all of this happens in three days. But like, there's this drive of like having this whole huge buildup. But like love isn't just that. Like love is the entirety of our relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like it's not like you're not able to see that unless you have chastity, because chastity allows the freedom to be able to see the entirety of the relationship besides just, oh, I just need a release in this moment. Like you're missing the point.
Yeah. Right.
And like that's,
I love, yeah, the wholeness. And the catechism actually, when defining chastity, talks about the integration of the whole person. So I'm going to read that really quick. Chastity means the successful integration of sexuality within the person and thus the inner unity of man and his bodily and spiritual being. Sexuality, in which man's belonging to the bodily and biological world is expressed, becomes personal and truly human when it is integrated into the relationship of one person to another in the complete and lifelong mutual gift of a man and a woman. The virtue of chastity, therefore, involves the integrity of the person and the integrality of the gift. Sorry for butchering what I'm reading today, guys, but I hope you heard.
It's in the show notes.
The point. It's in the show notes. But it's this wholeness. It's the wholeness of your relationship. It's the wholeness of your beloved. It is like chastity is what puts all of that into perspective, that it's not just this moment. And my beloved is not just a body for gratification. Like it's a wholeness. It's our whole life that we've built together. And chastity, rightly ordered, like celebrates that. It celebrates that in times when we're able to be sexually intimate. And then it celebrates that in times where we have to be abstaining. Like chastity is both. Chastity is not abstinence. Mm-hmm. Abstinence is part of chastity. But like, so is sex. Sex is part of chastity too. And like loving our spouse well in the act of sex is chaste.
Right.
right? And like when we're having sex and we're being completely, totally intimate with one another, like body, soul, all of it, like that's chastity too. And like loving the whole person and loving the whole person well within marriage is
right. Because chastity falls under temperance, and like it's the idea that the passions aren't the ones in the driver's seat. And I think that's like, it's not that the passions aren't existent.
Yes.
Because I think there's another thing of like, oh wow, like that must be really boring.
Really lame sex all right, the time. Right.
Which is like, oh, like, cause I can't look at you because I might like you. Like, no. But like, that's not.
Blindfolds are okay, but not for that reason.
But like, that's. But I think that that's also so because St. John Paul in earlier in Love and Responsibility says that the argument still circulates that the excessive chastity is detrimental to health and that a young person should have a sexual outlet. Above all, however, chastity and sexual abstinence are seen as dangerous opponents of human love. Because I think we believe that chastity means everything is super vanilla, like nothing is ever like there is no passion. It is constantly a I don't know, like a dry desert. I don't know. What's not fiery. Everything is ice cold. It's a vanilla desert. It's a vanilla desert. Chastity is a vanilla desert. But like, I think there's that belief that like, wow, everything in, cause
yes.
So, but it's no, you still feel the passions. And if anything, the passions put in their correct hierarchy should lead us to fuller union.
Yes.
It's like your desire for the Eucharist. It should be so like a person's desire for the Eucharist to be united with God, to be one with the God of the universe should be one that drives us to Mass and drives us to receive Him. But that it's not like anybody who's had a powerful experience with God wouldn't call that as like not as non-emotional. Like mm-hmm. the emotions should drive us to that union.
Yep.
The union isn't made what it is because of the emotions.
Yeah.
But the emotions should drive us there in the same way. Like the passions that we experience as husband and wife should lead us to a communion.
Yeah.
It should, but that only happens if chastity is the one in the driver's seat. If chastity is somewhere else, then that opens up to lust, that opens up to use of the other, that opens up to so many disordered things in mm-hmm. the same way that, and like, I know we talked about this in another episode, but like in the same way that reception of the Eucharist, like it needs to be done in a certain way or else it's not being received the way as it ought to be received. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think too, like with passion not being in the driver's seat, but being like, you know, in the car. I don't know. But there are also times where
changing the radio station.
Putting on Celine Dion.
Yes. Passions is such a jerk.
Do you remember in high school how you learned how to play that song on the piano for my birthday?
That was the worst. I remember I picked up so many balloons from the dollar store. How old were you turning? 18.
I picked up
18 balloons from the dollar store, and I remember walking up through your basement, and you had that stupid popcorn ceiling. It popped every single one of the balloons as I was walking up. And I was like, I had like 4 balloons left. And then I played the piano thing. I went to St. Joe's to learn from Dr. Withka, and I learned how to play My Heart Will Go On.
On the piano.
And then I played it for you with 4 balloons. That was great.
It was very romantic. But so when your passions don't play Celine Dion for you, I do think that also there are times in marriage wherein like one person may feel very passionate and the other person might feel neutral, but like sex is a good in your marriage too. And mm-hmm. to desire to be intimate with your spouse doesn't always mean that you're like fiery, passionately like turned on and horny. Like sometimes like the desire for intimacy can be vanilla, but that doesn't mean that your relationship is vanilla. Like vanilla desert.
But that's right, but like, because
so like it, like still being sexually intimate is like a very good way for you to be intimate with your spouse and right. to like grow, like to just affirm your relationship. Like that is good too.
Right. Because if you think that your passions need to be in the driver's seat and the passions aren't there, you feel like, well, there's no reason to take the car out of the driveway or out of
There you go.
I'm sticking with these analogies. Staying
with it.
This is the analogy episode.
I love it.
But right, but like if you, and I know that that's, there's just all these issues that I think come up in relationships because like we don't know how to love right because we were just built up by the world in a very different way. And I don't think the church really ever really provided answers throughout. Like it, I think it tried once we got to high school, but like imagine hearing this for the first time at 16, 17, like, yeah, it's going to take years to understand all of the intricacies of this.
Right. But I also think like in fairness, how much is appropriate to tell like a hormonal 16-year-old? Eventually you can do all these things with just your spouse, but in like all things go. Almost.
Well, I think instead of like us experiencing whatever the movies and everything as kids, like imagine we were, I don't want to say trained, but I think that's the only way to really do it. But like training children from their young to pursue virtue in different areas. Like you don't have to even talk about chastity, but like once the sexual sphere like and puberty hits, like that just becomes another area of your life.
Yes.
Virtue. Yes. So like up to what, 12, 13, virtue like building. you're being told to build a virtue in all these other areas.
Absolutely.
Oh, now there's sex. Oh, there's another virtue for this. And this is what it's called. This is how it's exercised. So like, it just becomes like, this is how you live life.
Yes.
You live life well. Yes. Which I still think is the best argument for the existence of God is like the way, like the, a life well lived is the Christian life because it's the virtuous life, but whatever. But like,
I digress. The car is driving itself now.
But like, so I think that that should be the way that we introduce it. And I don't think that there's that much focus on virtue because a lot of virtue is seen as restrictive and you're not letting me be free and be do what I want to do.
Right. And I would challenge like any couple right now listening that's struggles with the virtue of chastity, like I would challenge you to also look at how are you personally practicing the other virtues. Mm-hmm. Like, are you able to be prudent and temporal and things like that? Like, because they're very interrelated. And you're thinking of all the virtues.
Fortitude and justice. Sorry.
Thank you. But like, are you able to practice those too? Mm-hmm. Because obviously this episode is all about chastity, but like within your relationship, all of those are very important for a healthy marriage and a good Christian life, the Christian life lived well. So I think that would be a challenge for couples listening that like, gosh, chastity is so freaking hard. And like, yes, it is. So are all the virtues. So like maybe practice one, like pick a different one first and work on practicing that.
Yes. So sorry. Last quote from St. John Paul, from Love and Responsibility, this chapter, but like the resentment that we have, not just of chastity, I think we have a resentment to virtue in general, consists in an erroneous, distorted relation to value. It is a lack of objectivity in assessment and evaluation, a lack whose sources lie in the weakness of the will.
Yeah.
Like we don't see the value in virtue, in a virtuous life, because we see our passions and in all areas, so not just sex, in all areas, we would rather give in to our passions because life is a lot more comfortable that way.
Well, and you said freedom before. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people see freedom as giving into your passions, like going wherever your passions go. But like that's actually like you're a slave then to your passions because if you just have to go wherever they go, you don't even know where you're going because you're just following your feelings. You're just following your passions. But like freedom comes in acting on the will, like, okay, here's a situation and I am free to choose. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about chastity. Like, I am free to choose to go with my passions at this moment because the situation is right, my spouse is ready, and all things are a go, and we can go and be passionate. Or we need to put on the brakes, we need to pause, we need to hold off on this for a bit because of XYZ, like whatever the reasons may be. That's freedom because you were able to be like in control and choose. Mm-hmm. But we see so much of freedom to just go with our feelings. And that is slavery because you look back and you're like, how did I even get here? I wanted none of this. Mm-hmm. Like,
right. And I think the danger though, it could also sound like we're saying you just have to not act on anything. And anything that you discern is, you know, against, you know, whatever you and your spouse decided or whatever area of your life, you feel like, well, if I exercise this virtue, that means I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And it sounds like you're going to live a life of like neurosis of just constantly like, oh, what am I can't do anything. But like it's it, you have your life under control of your will versus your passions is one thing. But as Catholics, like there's also the infusion of grace that St. Thomas Aquinas says like elevates those virtues to a different degree.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like we've said this in other episodes too, but like you having to pray for those virtues and growth in those virtues is so important too.
Yes.
So it can't just be like, yes, you do the act, you exercise your will and you act out those virtues. Yes. But then you also pray for an increase in those virtues so that you can continue to build, because this isn't a thing that changes overnight. Like this is years of building to get to the point that we are right now. Like this it doesn't happen right away.
Right.
And it doesn't happen just by our own willpower, but it's our will
in cooperation
with God's grace.
Because like you have to remember that like God wants your marriage to be good and holy. Mm-hmm. Like he wants you to be happy, holy, and healthy. That's his desire for marriage. Marriage is good. Like marriage
I don't know about happy.
Okay. Well,
we talk about happiness a different time.
That's okay. Sorry. So, but like marriage was created at the it was part of the beginning of creation. So marriage is very good. Like man and woman being together is very good. And like, if God feels like it's very good, he's going to provide the tools and the grace and the support to help you have a very good marriage. Mm-hmm. So happiness, it might not always feel happy and good, but
right, because happy is a feeling.
Yes. So like, okay. Yes. But like to bring your desires for a very good marriage to God and ask him for the infusion of grace in the areas where you are falling short, like he will answer those prayers.
Right. And you have to continually go though.
Yeah.
And one thing, I don't know if we mentioned this in a different episode, but like last thing is reading another book by Sherry Waddell, learning the idea of like grace not being active in someone who doesn't have a faith in Jesus Christ. I totally forgot about that and like never really thought about it. But like if like a couple is struggling and a couple's praying and still feels like they're struggling with the virtues, I would say that one thing they have to ask each other and talk to each other about is like, where is their faith in Jesus? Because like one person might be all in, like Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's my whole life. And you know, everything is founded on him. The other person might be like, well, I think Jesus is a nice person and like not fully have accepted Jesus into their lives. Like that makes a difference because that person doesn't have that sanctifying grace working in them because they don't really acknowledge it or want it. Mm-hmm. So like the actual grace is there that they could respond to Christ's call. But that's it. So like, that's something that you and your spouses have to also discuss. Like, are you on the same page with your faith? Mm-hmm. And is your faith in Jesus beyond just like this, you know, I go to mass and therefore everything is to be fixed. Like, no, he wants all of it. Mm-hmm. Like the vital dynamism in your life that is going to make your chastity work and your marriage work is your faith in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit working in your lives. Like, if that's not what you're founded on, all of this is kind of pointless. Like then it's just your willpower and that's only going to take you so far.
Mm. Yeah. That was a lot.
A lot of analogies.
A lot of analogies, a lot of dad jokes, a lot of throwbacks. But guys, just thank you so much for tuning in and listening, because I hope that you can see as these conversations unfold that this is an ongoing adventure here with even within our marriage, that like your desire for a very good marriage is a really great place to start, and that like bring these things to conversation, bring these things to prayer, keep talking about them. Don't run away from the hard stuff, because like running away from the hard stuff doesn't make anything get better. But like, yeah, lean into that grace offered to you through the sacrament. Lean into that grace of the sacrament. Lean into one another. Have these conversations, dive into these things, and work on this together. Work on these virtues together, particularly obviously the virtue of chastity. And guys, reach out to us. Like, know that we're praying for you and we're rooting for you, and we would love to answer like any questions that you have or concerns, or like, I don't get this. How do you live this out? Reach out. We would love to connect. And thanks.
See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode. Thank you all so much for listening. We're so glad you're joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. We're so grateful for your encouragement and ask that you prayerfully consider becoming a podcast patron. Your financial support can help us keep projects like this podcast going. Visit patreon.com/tobecomefamily to become a monthly donor, or buymeacoffee.com/tobecomefamily for a one-time donation. Links are in the show notes. We'd also love to connect with you on Instagram @tobecomefamily. Let us know what you would ask if you had pre-Canaan with the Pope. See you at the next episode.